Okay, well, Matty Johns joins us now. G'day, Matty.
Joel, Fletch, how are your voice?
Going good, mate.
Yeah, that photo, I put a photo up. So we had to come as your favourite 80s player. Mm. And Matty, yours was Kay Hardwick, wasn't he?
Yeah, Kevin Hardwick. Yes, the tackling machine. Kevin Hardwick. I was a massive Balmain Tigers fan coming through the grades. And he was like... We used to liken him to Kerry Hemsley, like a sawn-off Kerry Hemsley.
Yeah.
You look more like Rob Ruff from Family Feud.
And the top answer is...
Yeah, I've got a bit of Sonny
The best one, Brian, is when you said, and we ran into Dr. Phil in a Broncos jersey. Oh, Gordon. Oh, how good.
Oh, very good voice. Very good.
How you been, Matty?
Yeah, going good, Joel. I'm going good, mate. It's, time off at the moment, last show of Morning Glory tomorrow for 2021. But, yeah, mate, I've been good. I mean, sad news today on Norm.
Yeah.
It's funny. I read a mate of mine wrote a book several years ago, and it got called Never Before, Never Again, Larry Ryder. Larry, mate, prolific writer, one of Sydney's best. He wrote Ashy Brandy's book as well, and the Razor Gangs, he did all those ones. And... Yeah, I went back and I had a look at the chapter on Norm, and there was all these different, you know, he's got all the chapters on people like Billy Smith, Graham Langlands, Johnny Raper. And Norm's chapter's heading is The Colossus. 18 tests for Australia, you know, almost 260 games for St George, 10 premierships, 4 as captain coach. But when you read the chapter, you get a real understanding that he was the glue that held this... You know, amazing side together. Greatest first grade side in rugby league history, 56-66. That's why it's called Never Before, Never Again. And Norm, to play in 10 of those 11 title-winning teams is amazing. But the reason I say the glue is because often we talk about coaches and leaders having difficulties handling big personalities. And through much of those 11 straight years of success, Norm was surrounded by some of the strongest personalities in the game's history. And he didn't just keep them in line, but they spoke about it in the book. Ian Walsh said in the books, we were intimidated by Norm. So as a leader, he was unequaled. I mean, you think about this. Imagine being inside, being the coach, and you've got Johnny Raper, Billy Smith, Ian Walsh, Graham Langlands, you know, people like Johnny King, Eddie Lumsden, and yet you were the bloke that held them all together. So amazing. Several years ago, I took my two sons, was a game at Cogger Oval, and I took them across the Leagues Club, and we walked along and had a look at the photos of the 11 straight wins. And, like, I said, look at this, Norm Proven, in 10 of them.
Mm.
Just, and a real gentleman as well. And one thing I didn't realise about, you know, with reading aspects of the book was that, you know, he and his wife, Lynn, just their moral standing and... like Norm was a complete fitness fanatic, and in the early in the years when, you know, he and Arthur that the image was portrayed for the Winfield Cup, you know, and the Gladiators, he was a little uneasy about that. There was linked to, you know, to smoking. You know, I sourced a lot of people and said, "What do you think?" And they said, "Mate, we don't link that image to Winfield." But you know, the fact that he thought of that, and Lynn was a really strong advocate of Indigenous rights, Indigenous Australians. So I think it says everything about Norm and his wife, Lynn.
You spoke there, Matty, about saying how he was a gentleman off the field. And it was that generation of player, a bit like Ned Kelly. He was the same. Gary Stevens a bit later on. But they were so violent on the field and so tough on the field. But they seemed to escape that for when they were off the field, because they were so polite and so gentlemanlike.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Man, we lost some mate, good ones in the last 12 months. It's been just remarkable. And Noel Kelly, spot on with Noel. Like, every few months, Noel lived just around the corner from me a little bit, and we'd go down to the Collery Beach Service Club and sit and have a beer, or an afternoon having a beer. And he, sometimes, like, younger blokes, you know, in their 20s and 30s would come and sit there. And like, Noel was as young as them, just the way he spoke, his enthusiasm, and he was such a well-meaning bloke. One of the great stories about Noel Kelly was the fact that I think he had the record at one point for the quickest send-off ever in a test match, where he knocked out the Kiwi bloke. A Kiwi bloke cheap shot up one of the Aussies. He knocked him out with the left hand. But the untold story, which they spoke at Noel's funeral about, was that when Noel was sent off at the SCG, he went into the sheds and there was a bloke going through all the Aussies' bags. So he knocked him out as well.
It was the perfect time to be knocking stuff off, wasn't it? Start of a test match.
Oh, man. Yeah, but they just, yeah, they're great blokes. And Norm was one of those blokes as well. Just a really well-meaning bloke. As is, like, the other thing, I think one of the keys to keeping, you know, Chook and all those blokes in tow was the fact that Norm said in the book, where all the other players would go to the Carlton Hotel after it, he said he just wouldn't do it. And he said there was a school of thought that, you know, that some people said to ask the players, is Norm a little aloof? And they said, no, no, he's just a leader and he doesn't blur the lines.
Wow. I tell you what, Fletch, when he says that, it makes a lot of sense, because we know the clubs we've been in, and those, you guys in particular, successful clubs, you need that player, don't you? Who you know, all boats rise with the tide. That person who keeps the tide up, which Norm clearly did for 11 years, when they had big personalities and things could go a little bit rogue, would it be easy with that success for standards to drop? But clearly Norm plays a major part in all of that. We now move on to something that's starting, which is a new club, Matty, being the Dolphins. And everyone's talking about, you know, Wayne Bennett, fantastic. And they're all saying, okay, which player is going to be the first player to sign and those sorts of things. But one of the biggest probably things that no one's talking about is who's going to be the recruitment manager. These days, that's pretty much as important as it gets.
Yeah, it is. I don't think there'd be a shortage of people putting their hands up. And I think, Joel, everyone's, like, their recruitment is going to be a challenge, but I actually think they've got a real advantage in the fact that, mate, it's a blank canvas. So Wayne gets to accumulate the roster he wants. They're not inheriting any of these back-end deals or players that they can't get rid of. What it's going to be, it's going to be a monumental challenge for all the clubs outside of the top four or five. It's going to be monumental because, I mean, you consider this. Let's say, for instance, the Dolphins go after and get Cameron Munster and Brandon Smith, right? Got to help them. And what happens is, yeah, let's say for instance, in the past, right, they get those two blokes. But in the past, if Munster and Brandon Smith had gone to Parramatta, say, that suddenly frees up Dylan Brown and Reed Marnie. So all of a sudden, Dylan Brown and Reed Marnie's available, then some of these other clubs can go and try to poach one of those players. You know, under the way it is at the moment, it's just a jigsaw puzzle where pieces get pushed around. But if the Dolphins get Munster and Brandon, nothing gets shuffled around. In fact, it makes it more difficult for the bottom clubs because suddenly the Melbourne Storm are looking for a 6 and 9. And this is where it's going to be enormously difficult. And all of a sudden, that, you know, you look at a club like it might be a St. George Illawarra or a Tigers, is that they go looking for players, but the players they're looking at, suddenly the Melbourne Storm are in the same market for key players. So this is the spill-on effect and why this is going to be a huge challenge for most of the sides in the competition. I think, mate, it could be devastating for some clubs.
Well, Brian, you made the point too. You reckon someone is in for a major.
Someone's going to win the lottery.
Yep.
Definitely. We just don't know who. Because Sugar and I were suggesting that maybe they get on the front foot and for 2022 they go out and sign some first graders who aren't fringe first graders that are already signed with clubs, throw them in the Queensland Cup next year so they've sort of got a few already, rather than November 21, just going all out.
Your players 16 to 25 in the roster,
just
those
get
types.
Get a few guys already, because I don't know how many, Matty, I'll ask you this, how many of the current Redcliffe Dolphins do you think would make the top 30?
I'm not sure. I haven't had a look at their roster, really. I've seen a little bit of them play with Cooper playing up there the last couple of years. You know, strong club, very, very strong club, but not exactly sure how many are capable of making that next step or available to do it. I think they were associated from memory with the Broncos. Of course, that's the Broncos now with Logan. But, yeah, it's good. Sides' affiliations are shifting all the time in the Queensland and New South Wales Cup. But, it'll be interesting. I think there'll be a lot of nervous clubs. I think even players, recruitment and people at the Bunnies would be nervous, given the fact that the relationships that Wayne has developed there, like how thick he and Cody are. And Cody sort of signaled he'd like to be a Bunny for life. But, mate, the pull of Wayne, particularly if they offer him a huge deal, you know, 4 or 5 years. And
Latrell too, Matty. Latrell would be the big one.
Jackson Polo. All these different guys that he, and mate, Munster had a great time under Wayne, in the Queensland side. And there's not many clubs that I would say that people like Munster could go to, and he could. Well, put it this way, Craig has the perfect mix of how to, you know, control or you know, or basically get the best out of scallywags like Cameron Munster, right? Is that gives him enough rope, but still gets the very best out of him, lets Munster be Munster. Wayne is one of the probably few other coaches who could do that. Mm. I think a bloke like Munster and bloke like Brandon Smith and a few other players would be reluctant to go under a coach they don't know. But with Wayne, it's a completely different story.
And the thing, Fletch, is we saw the Nathan Cleary TikTok thing. He comes out and has the game, the season of his life. Tommy Turbo with the Harry on the Corso, season of his life. Munster's in for a cracker.
Training the house up.
Yep, training the house up.
Hey, speaking of people training the house up, Matty, do we know what happened to Joey, your brother, on Monday? Because I know he was going down booking a table down the Clovelly Hotel. I tried to buzz him. He didn't answer. So I gather it was a big one.
It's a big one. I was talking to someone who was sucked into his vortex. They escaped. They went through the black hole and were able to get out of it.
Yeah.
It must have been a big one because I was involved with a Zoom phone call yesterday about something we've been looking at. And Joey sat on the Zoom call for 15 minutes and didn't say a word. Yeah. And then suddenly went, oh, I've got to go, boys. And they said, thank you for your contribution.
No, he was very excited on Friday. And then it stewed over the weekend. And then Monday, he was down there about 10 o'clock. My spies are telling me they had a great day.
He got down there, right? This is how much of a must have been like a manic high he was on. He went down there with just all copious amounts of the Steel City stuff. Mate, when they sent me a photo through, like the pub was basically like the Steel City Hotel. He'd taken bar mats, everything down there. He was just, when Joey's that motivated that, he's gearing up for a big one.
You know what, he might have been motivated. You know why he's fired up, I reckon, Fletch? He may have been reading. He loves his reading, Joey. He might have been reading the Justin Langer post.
Oh, yeah.
That's what's got him fired up.
Have you got around that, Matty, the head coach of the Australian cricket team? He's just gone out.
Please read it. I'm in the mood for this sort of stuff after watching Diamond Dan Ewing the other night.
Oh, yeah. Okay, let me get you one. Let me get you one. Yeah. Just fill the
Oh, okay. Just fill
that's all right. Because when we had Brad Haddon on the show, he was sort of saying that Amazon special they had, things went a bit weird. Things went a little bit weird behind the scenes.
Yeah, Matty, get this into you. Get this right into you. You sitting down?
Yeah, gotcha.
A wise man once said, don't give them a taste of your own medicine. If they lied, let their medicine be honesty. And another. If they play with your emotions, let your medicine be maturity. If they broke you, let your medicine heal you. If they made you cry, let your medicine make them smile. These remedies of yours may take years to work out, but they work and they last.
I wonder what Dave Warner could do with that. I'm sorry. I just can't even follow any of that.
No.
Oh, this is more your go.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to be yourself, even if it means removing yourself from lives you want to be in. Well, that's not fun.
No.
That's not fun at all.
I want to be in lives of other people. I want to be someone else. No doubt worthy of being valued for who you are, so be who you are.
Yeah, he's a flog. That's what he...
There's something... Mate, I'm always concerned when blokes still wear those Oakley Sunnies, the ones that you only see. The only people you see wearing those are questionable people on the street and blokes who field in his first slip.
Yeah, he's big on the... He's into Kabbalah too.
Is he? What's that?
You wear the red... It's a religious thing. I think it's part
a Jewish
of Judaism.
Thing,
it's a Hecko version of Judaism. It's the next level up.
I remember Madonna was involved in it.
And your man, Carl Stefanovic, he loves it.
Really?
He loves a bit of Kabbalah. Yeah.
You know,
I think that might just be K. Sorry, the K's a different one. Kabbalah, K-A-B-B-A-L.
That sounds special.
Double L. Yeah, it's pretty.
Did you see the Amazon, Fletch?
I did.
Like, so he's. Have you seen it, Matty? The Amazon test.
No, I haven't. I don't know how to stream those things.
How do you manage to call in, mate?
I tell what I did. No, sorry, Joel, you go first.
No, he calls in Payne, the captain, right? And he says, because things are going a bit lost. And he says, righto, Tim, just basically along these lines, to share with the coaching staff as to what the players' feedback has been. And he just stares him down with this Cheshire Cat smile on his face, as if to say, mate, I don't give a rat's what you say. He presents very, very poorly. Don't you agree, Fletch?
Yeah. He got...
He's an A grade.
He got, when the pressure was on, he sort of snapped a little bit.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we're all sweet. We're all good.
Yeah, no, we're flying. Mate, there is one thing I've downloaded. My oldest boy put me onto it, and it took me, honestly, a year to work out to download it. I streamed the... I don't know if streamed, downloaded, what it was, but the Boosty Boys... As the thing on the Boosty Boys, you've seen Mike Tyson, The Undisputed Truth, where he stands up in front of the theatre with everything in the background. Yeah, the Boosty Boys do one of those and talk about their careers. It's unbelievable. It's so good.
What's that on, do you know? Is it Netflix?
It's Apple.
Apple TV. Yeah.
It's no Squid Game.
No, it's no Squiddy. But Joel put me onto a show. It's called The Queen of Trees. Have we got that, Gibbo? Just Maddie might be interested in this.
Yeah, he just said he wants you to just kick to the sideline, walk to the scrum. In other words, just give him a bit of time.
No, Brian. I know, but I just thought it pops up. Well, Joel, will you tell the story?
No, so I've been trying to get my gang onto the Squid Game, right? And it's been frustrating that they're not on board, and because you want to have a few beers and talk about it. But anyway, one of my mates, the spa man, he's a mad green thumb, and he said, well, okay, well, you watch this Queen of Trees, right? So there's been about 5 million views of this stupid show. But, Brian, what was your take on the Queen of Trees?
The takeaways was that the wasp, we're right to go, Gibbo.
Okay.
Listen to this, Matthew.
A male has no wings and only tiny antennae and eyes. But in one area, he is very well endowed. He impregnates a female before she hatches, with an organ that is so long and flexible that some males can mate without even leaving their galls.
That's about a wasp that hangs in a tree.
I was just talking about Heidi.
So a wasp, would you ever think that a wasp is that well endowed? I had no idea.
I was unaware of that, and I'm comfortable to be unaware about that. I mean, I'm happy to give my medicine, as Justin Link would say.
I know. Well, what about this? I found this out today and found it quite disturbing. Well, not disturbing, but a horse, right, a female horse, winks with her vagina to attract a mate.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Truly?
Yeah.
I didn't know that either.
I was talking about, because obviously I've got... The two horses I own are geldings.
Yeah, is Brian Lyon. Yeah.
And no, they do. Female horses, like the peacock, when they spread their wings, they wink.
Right.
They're Brooksy's.
This is I'm
really trying to gain knowledge of something different every day.
And you're succeeding.
Yeah.
Yes.
I just looked at it here. I typed it up. Horses wink with their vaginas when they are horny.
There you go. Now, Matthew, how do you go in the off season? You're quite the busy person.
How is Trish? How is Trish? You good?
Well, no, I can't say that. Yeah. No, she's doing well. Fletch and Joel are asking, how are you, Trish? I beg your pardon. Fletch and Joel were just asking how you're going. Say hello, boys.
Hello, Trish.
Good afternoon.
Hello, Trish. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. What's he talking about?
I don't know. You know what he's like. What were you doing then? I could hear some plates clangoring.
No plates. No, just some washing, and I was just bringing in some things from outside because the heavens are opening.
The rains are coming, Marge.
The rains are coming.
I'm going to give you a test here, Trish, as to see whether you're familiar with this particular sound, which Brian and I have become very much accustomed to.
Yes.
Let's have a listen to this, Trish, and tell us if you know this one.
Oh, yeah.
Thoughts?
My little squid people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Quite addictive, isn't it?
It is.
Who's
it
your favourite?
Strangely, because it's so gruesome.
Who's your favourite squid?
Oh, main dude. And I also liked the girl who was the pickpocket.
The thief.
Yep. Tell Trish the story.
I like the thief. Pardon?
I'd been in touch with the English voiceover of that lady. I forget what her name is in the show, the pickpocketer.
Oh.
But she said
nice.
She'd love to come on. However, Netflix have got them in a stranglehold. They can't, confidentiality-wise, they can't come on, unfortunately.
Confidentiality?
Yeah.
Well, they don't want to promote their show.
That's the thing, yeah.
No, she's obviously got a few secrets.
Yes.
Yeah, or maybe that got lost in translation somewhere because that sounds a little unusual.
Great show.
Maybe they're talking about, like, the prospect of season two.
Yes, that could be true.
Because I think that's left wide open for them.
That's coming. I didn't. Have you seen the end of it, Trish?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, what do you make of the red hair? Can I say it?
Yeah,
now?
That doesn't affect the show.
Well, yeah. No, I think that's just symbolic of change in him.
Yes.
That's it.
I think that's just symbolic of change. Yeah. There's a change. It's a switch. Yeah. You know, it's just a trigger. It's a visual.
Very perceptive.
I think that's
very perceptive.
Yes, yeah. Well, it's good to see that, you know, pop culture studies that I did in my first year of communications provided something. I actually went there and they were talking about popular culture and I went, pop culture? I went, what is that? I don't know if I'm in the right course anyway.
Oh, it's good fun. So what's the next show, Trish?
I'm waiting for Yellowstone. Apparently it's ready to go in November.
Mm.
Are you Yellowstone fans?
No, the wife
you
did.
Oh, my God, get into it. Watch it. There's two seasons. There are some great characters in that you'll have a lot of fun with.
Trish, what about Love Island? Are you around Love Island?
No, yeah, no. Actually, Matt popped it on the other night for about 5 minutes and I just was repulsed.
The show?
I was just repulsed by the characters.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Oh, we get around it.
Just call me old, but I just don't. Yeah.
I'll tell you what I didn't like, and I think, did you like this, White Lotus?
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah,
some of the best scenes in television. Yeah. Two of the best scenes I've ever seen.
That, yeah, eating at the buffet was pretty good. But the other thing, I didn't like Stifler's mum. I thought she was a punish.
She kind of went nowhere. I don't even know. She kind of went nowhere.
And whinged and carried on all the time.
She did. She was quite annoying, yeah. And actually, speaking of annoying, in Squid Game, who is your most annoying character? Because I know who mine is.
The girl with the curly hair.
The lunatic. Oh, the bathroom scene.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, any scene. She was just annoying. And I think what made it worse, when you actually listen to it with the English voiceover, it was a horrific voice.
Yeah,
it was
well, she got attacked.
And annoying.
The lady who did the dub over, she got smashed on social media. Hey, Trish, we've got to go. If you love Squid Game, check out Alice in Borderland and tell Matthew thank you.
Oh, you're done with him? I can tell him to go home.
We're all done. He's off the hook.
Ask him to tell you about the horse fact I found out today.
The horse fact. Okay, yeah. I'll get him to tell me.
Righto. Okay. Good on you, Trish.
See you, boys.
Bye.
Have a great afternoon. Bye.
Thank you.
The Johns.